sometimes it just helps to have another opinion, a biblically grounded opinion. Welcome to Ask Pastor John, a short time of questions and answers with pastor and author John Piper. John, at the beginning of each new year, you focus in your congregation on two things, the Bible and prayer. Is there a reason for emphasizing those two as you turn the calendar?
Well, there is indeed. I don't think there's anything more basic to knowing the supremacy of Christ and loving Him and obeying Him and being the church for each other and for the sake of the world than to hear God speak to us in His Word and to speak back to Him with the praises and the longings of our heart. And the reason for that is because it's so plain that today God reveals Himself to us by the Word. The living Christ in His bodily form is not here. He has ascended and He has taken His place at the right hand of God. And His inspired prophets and apostles are not here. And the way God has ordained for Himself to be known primarily is that the word that was recorded from those prophets and apostles, and especially those who knew the Lord Himself in His physical form, have been preserved for us in a book. And now, by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we're enabled to read that book with illumination and then to let our hearts cry back to Him what we see in that word. And it becomes a kind of rhythm. For me, it's absolutely crucial that my prayer be saturated with the word and that my Bible reading be saturated with prayer. Because there we see Him and we commune with Him, and in this communion of hearing and speaking, we're transformed. And it's that transformation that's right at the heart of what it means to be a Christian.
As a pastor, and probably representative in this case of pastors all over the world, how do you react to the disheartening news that people are in the Word less than 5 minutes a day, that so many people just aren't getting it?
Well, I have to battle discouragement, and I have to battle anger and desires to just, you know, go away and find a little group of people who are totally sold out. But the Lord enables me, at least He has over the years that I have been at Bethlehem, to see that Jesus dealt with the same issues. He had 12 guys and they all forsook Him at the end. My people haven't all forsaken me. One of them denied Him. One of His closest friends denied Him 3 times. I've never been denied 3 times like that in any crisis. One of them betrayed Him utterly and handed Him over to death. I've never been handed over to death. So I think my little battles with my people's sinfulness, which is an echo of my own sinfulness, is nowhere near as painful as what Jesus dealt with. And therefore, I think it's a rebuke to me that I have to struggle as much as I do to be merciful and patient and kind. I mean, the Bible is just filled with exhortations to us shepherds that we're to love the sheep and recognize that the sheep have to be led to green pastures and have to be led to still waters and that they're going to get lost and they're going to have broken legs and their wool is going to get dirty. It's our job not to get uppity and angry at our people, but to get down with them and do everything we can over the long haul to keep lifting them up. We're always going to be dealing with a defiled and imperfect and immature church. I don't think it's ever going to change. Right till the day people die or till the day Jesus comes, the church will be a gathering place for sinners. And some will be soaring and some will be stumbling and crawling and some will be leaving. And shepherds who have to have a perfect church are just not going to survive. So I preach the gospel to myself, in other words, that I have been loved with a patience that is so extraordinary that for me then to turn around and show patience to my people and take them wherever they are and bring them on shouldn't be that big of a sacrifice because of the way Christ has so loved me.
John, this is such an important subject, and perhaps you could pray for us in closing that we would make time and make the effort by God's grace to treasure God's word in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray for those who are listening right now, as well as for myself, for Bob here, that we would love your word. Lord, we have to have our hearts attuned to what is really valuable and precious. And your word, the Bible says, is like gold and much fine gold, and it's like honey and drippings from the honeycomb. And I pray that you would tune our hearts so that we are tasting what is really sweet and we are treasuring what is really valuable. And then with that new tasting and new treasuring, would you incline us and discipline us to take up the Bible and to read it and to meditate on it and to memorize it and to drink in its living water and to eat its heavenly bread, so that we are made strong in the inner man by knowing God at a level that we do not now know. So, Lord, work in our hearts to incline us to your word and then to open it to us and then to grant us to embrace it. And then, oh, Lord, may we extend the benefits and the beauty, the preciousness of this word to those around us who have very little contact with the scriptures or with the church or with the Christ that we love so much. Make us a blessing to this world, I pray, because of our encounter with you in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The ultimate answer to the question of joy is knowing Jesus Christ. At Desiring God, we aim to help you know Him and enjoy Him like you never have before. Visit today and take advantage of the many free resources at our website designed to help you make Christ the treasure of your life. www.desiringgod.org. Desiringgod.org.